Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
My name is Halle, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkamedum-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week, we're talking about introversion versus extroversion, a topic that I feel like a lot of people highly debate in many ways. What's good? What's bad? What does it really mean? But Violet, I'm interested to know whether you feel that if you are more of an introvert or an extrovert.
I now identify as an introvert.
Uh-huh.
The more I've kind of gotten to know or understand the terms. But I think it's really difficult to choose an identity because I, like most other people, have many sides to myself.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a very good grasp on what introvert versus extrovert really meant at first.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I like being around people. I like being around my friends. Isn't that an extrovert quality?
Yeah.
But then I came to kind of understand that introverts are more so the people who, at least from my understanding, get an energy and recharge when they're alone, versus extroverted people or people who tend to be more extroverted tend to recharge and get that energy when they're surrounded, like in a room full of people or just, you know, around other people. And so that really kind of helped clarify it for me, because as much as I love socializing, I love being around people, at the end of the day, like if I've spent like the whole day with someone, or if I've spent multiple days and kind of haven't gotten that time alone, I feel exhausted and drained, and I really need that alone time to like recharge.
Right.
Yeah.
That feels like introverted qualities. I remember one time I think you called yourself an introverted extrovert, and I got upset at you because I was like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, but who cares?
No.
Because I think it was an extroverted introvert.
Oh, okay.
Because I am an introvert, but like I can be extroverted at times, which I feel like a lot of people listening would really resonate with that idea of like you're kind of a mishmash of the two, or you like have moments where you feel extroverted and have moments where you feel introverted, or spans of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had like my parents in town not too long ago. And so like naturally I was spending a lot of time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of their visit, I was feeling super exhausted and drained.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know why. And then I was like, oh, it's because I haven't spent quality time alone with myself, door closed, world out. Like, and that's what I need.
Right.
You know?
You needed a little bit of a break to like get yourself back and get yourself ready for the next social interaction you're going to do.
Yeah. But I think it's really interesting because I've actually seen you kind of have like the opposite, where you feel really exhausted and then we pull up to like some social function and then suddenly you're around people and you're just full of energy.
I know, it's kind of a weird thing that I didn't really like know too much about myself, but because when I was younger, I used to spend a lot of time by myself, and I didn't have that many friends and didn't like go out all the time, but I always really crave that type of attention or like stimulation. I just didn't really know how to get it. And so my title, even though I don't like the term introvert or extrovert, and we'll get into a bit of why I don't like those terms, I understand for like the mass amounts of the population, that makes the most sense. I like describing myself as an extrovert with social anxiety, because I definitely struggled a lot with social anxiety up until like my first year. And once I'd like gone to therapy and figured out a little bit more about how to overcome that, and once I started being able to interact with people, it was a whole new world. And I have this really, really like strong memory of on the last day of classes in second year, I was exhausted. I remember just like seeing a lot of people, and I would think I didn't get that much sleep the night before, and I had to submit a bunch of papers. I was so tired, but all my friends really wanted to go to this party. And so I was like, okay, fine, like we can do it. And I was so tired literally until we got to like the front of the house. And it literally feels like something just like brain, like there's like this tingle that starts at the bottom of my feet and just comes up to my brain, and I'm like, I'm awake, I'm
That's
here.
So interesting. I can get excited for social functions. I can enjoy my time.
Yeah.
But it will never, like, charge me up with energy, really.
That's so... Well, and it's so weird because I think back... Because there's definitely times that I love my alone time. And there are definitely times that I've gotten way too overwhelmed. And I'm like, I need to be by myself. I don't want to hang out with anyone. But I think for the most part... Even if I feel that way, because like that, I remember a few months ago we were going to a friend's birthday party and I was so tired. I really wanted to skip it and just like go to sleep.
Yeah.
But the minute that I got there, it just like energized me again. But then, you know, after I think an hour and a half or 2 hours, then I started really like crashing. Yeah,
there's only so much you can do to fight the exhaustion sometimes. No.
But I do think like I do really resonate with you when you talk about recharging on your own. Because like I do really like that. I love spending days by myself.
Yeah.
But I do also think that I just thought it was normal that people got energized by other people. And then I'm starting to realize that might not be the case.
It's not that it's not normal, but I think it's just not the way that everyone gets energy and not the way that everyone feels being around other people in these social situations.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's interesting because it is kind of a difference in our personalities and the way that we kind of interact with the world. But Holly and I have lived with each other for the past 3 years, and it's interesting because even though like I'm more introverted, she's more extroverted, we do have a like similarity of we do like to spend both of us to spend time alone in our rooms and like taking that time and space, and like that works really well for us as roommates.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could probably spend like 3 days in my room like actually not doing anything
and not talking to anyone.
But you like you'll spend some time alone, but you might like pop out for like a walk or like go to the shops or something and like kind of be around people.
Yeah.
In that time, more so than I would, like, feel inclined to do that.
That's interesting that you've noticed that. Yeah. I wouldn't have ever really... I didn't know that you would spend that much time alone by yourself. I think I used
to... I get lonely after a little while, but I could probably do it.
You could probably do it.
Yeah.
I think that my max day is probably a day. I think that, especially after, you know, a big weekend or, like, lots of just interacting with people, I tend to want like one night where I can just like be by myself, be on my phone, just like completely brain is not on anymore.
Yeah.
But you are right. I didn't even think about it that way, that I really do like going for walks and then like go. I always like to
get
go and like get
drink.
Coffee, go to the grocery store, where it's just like I'm at least surrounded by other people. But I never really thought about it that way. That's
I've noticed
really good
that.
Observation.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like, okay. DoorDash.
Like, like, you do love a DoorDash.
I do. Guilty.
No people. No interaction.
Yeah.
Well, what do you feel like when you are forced, where you feel like you're forced to go out and you do end up in a social situation, maybe with like quite a few people, but you've been around a lot of people for a long time?
Yeah.
Like, what's kind of going through your head?
I think sometimes I can get really irritated, which I really don't like to be around people when I'm feeling irritated. Like, that's never the way that I want to show up, which is why I try and like get ahead on those situations as much as possible. But yeah, like irritated, grumpy, it can also kind of manifest in me being like really shy or like quiet, which I think I have that side to me in general, but it'll like come out more so where it's just like I don't really have the capacity right now to be my best self and like show up and talk to people, which can make me really anxious because I'm like, oh, I'm not showing up as my best self right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not like performing socially in the way that I would like to and that I know I can if I get that time alone.
Yeah.
But I have noticed it with partners who I do love to spend, like historically have loved to spend like lots of time with. But then at a certain point, it's like, okay, I kind of need my space, and like I'll get especially like irritated sometimes and be like, please go away.
See, that's how I feel like if I'm spending time with like one or two people over the course of like a very, I'm not the type of extrovert that like needs to have just like one person around me all the time, which is I think why we do really well together when we asked for like, because I feel like that characteristic of myself is more because I'm an only child and not so much because of like my extroversion or introversion. I was just always used to being home, not by myself, but like in my room by myself.
Yeah.
So But it's interesting to think about how, because you do like to spend quite a lot of time with your partners, and I historically don't need that much time. Because if it's just one person, it's not like enough stimulation. Like for me, the recharge is like going to a loud party where there's half the people there I don't know and half the people I like kind of know because I've been to other parties with them. And then that's my like recharge of like, oh, this feels good.
I've seen that for you. But yeah, it's interesting that you bring up this kind of like phenomenon that I've definitely seen in other people who maybe might consider themselves extroverted is kind of this incessant need to like always be around someone else.
Oh yeah.
Friend, partner, whatever. And maybe that's something else going on, who knows? But like I've had people where like they have a friend, like a very close friend, who they'll just like sit and like be on their phones together, or like just doing things that like I would probably be doing like alone in my room, but doing it with this other person there, and they really crave to have just that company of that other person there. And that's interesting because you have told me before that that's not really something that you love. I never would have linked it to being an only child.
But I've
seen people do that, and I'm like, no,
there's
not for me.
There's definitely a time and place for that, especially I feel like I do like doing, you know, work around people, or I like, sometimes I'm in the headspace where, you know, I'll go outside, especially living with like lots of roommates. I'll just like to go outside and be surrounded by people. But like we don't really do that together. We don't just like sit and like do our own thing while sitting right beside each other. That's not really our relationship.
No, I feel like our time spent together is active, like pretty intentional. But that's enough about us psychoanalyzing our relationship with each other.
And now we're going to psychoanalyze other people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited for this episode. I think we have a lot of really interesting things coming up, and a lot to learn about extroversion versus introversion. I feel like, again, it's one of those things, one of those topics that kind of gets thrown around. Something that you can identify with and see yourself in. But I think there's a lot of research coming up that's going to be really interesting to people.
I'm excited to dismantle some beliefs.
Exactly. But before we do that, we're going to play our little song for this week's segment. It's called I Need to Be Alone by Girl in Red. But don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back with that research on extroverts versus introverts.
To be alone, or I'm gonna lose. TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about introverts and extroverts.
Yeah, we are.
So here's the thing. As someone who studies psychology, I must say that I'm very upset with the way that introversion and extroversion has been taken by the general public. Mm. I remember a prof telling me once that the way that we see introverts and extroverts in like that defining characteristic mm-hmm. really got popularized because of the Myers-Briggs test.
Oh.
Which notably
that makes sense,
has
I guess.
Very little psychological validity to it. Okay. But it's very popular to use yeah. and like they use it a lot in like workspaces and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of here to I want to give an extroversion introversion 101 to everyone.
Cool.
Cuz you know we've talked a little bit about the differences between like extroverts and introverts and kind of hinting towards this idea that there's a little bit of preconceived notions as to what it means to be an extrovert versus what it means to be an introvert. Mm-hmm. So I want to give a little understanding. So extroversion mm-hmm. came from something called the Big Five personality traits, which is a psychological measure of five different personality traits, which okay. is openness to experience. I think that's what it is. It's just openness, really. Mm-hmm. It's openness, conscientiousness, agreeableness, and neuroticism, as well as extroversion. Mm. Pretty much the way that these characteristics work is that those names all are on one side of a scale. Mm-hmm. So with extroversion, the definition of extroversion is on one side of the scale, which means it's the most extreme mm-hmm. version of what an extrovert is. Mm-hmm. So the characteristics of an extrovert, like that side of the scale, would be outgoing, sociable, and responding positively to external stimuli, meaning mm-hmm. getting energy from other people. Mm-hmm. And so then on the other side, you have introversion, mm-hmm. which is characterized by quietness, solitary, and responding well to internal stimuli, mm. which is being by yourself. Mm-hmm. The thing is, and you kind of touched on this in the intro, very little people find themselves really seeing themselves as an introvert and really seeing themselves as an extrovert. And mm-hmm. there's a reason for that, because this is meant to be a scale.
Right.
So there are people who may have introverted tendencies. So let's say somebody that really prefers being alone than being right. with other people, but they will still go out to parties.
Yeah.
And on the other hand,
that's me.
Yeah, of course. And that's, I think, the biggest thing I want to teach people is yeah. like the way that I found it most helpful to learn about extroversion and introversion is where you get your energy from.
Yeah, that was super helpful. And what you prefer. For me too.
Exactly. Yeah. So like for me, I do, like I said, I enjoy my alone time, but yeah, I get a lot of energy yeah. from other people and I kind of prefer being around other people.
That's interesting. I feel like my relationship to introversion is like I don't necessarily prefer, like I couldn't go like the rest of my life just me in my room,
right.
you know? Like and I wouldn't even go as far to say it's my preference. It's just like it's necessary for me.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like you, if you took like a psychological scale, they'd probably score you like
yeah.
on the introverted side, but maybe closer to the
yeah.
middle.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about introversion and extroversion, that's why it's like people that study psychology don't use the term extrovert or introvert, because that doesn't really exist. You're just a human on a scale.
Yeah.
That's, and they're just trying to measure like your characteristics in some aspect of like, do you have some of these? So like one of the questions that they'll ask is like, are you very talkative? And then another one will be something like, do you prefer your time? Or like, I prefer my time alone. And then you scale that. So it's just a bunch of like continuums that this measurement is trying to like give to you.
I appreciate because like I was saying in the intro, I am a fluid person, and I have, I may have one week where I have more energy to be around people.
Exactly.
And then I have other weeks where I'm not feeling as sociable. And same with you.
Yeah,
despite identifying kind of on other ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, there's probably, you know, a long-term scale that people can use, and they can see where they're mostly at. But like, like we've said so many times on this podcast, humans can really just not be boxed into like one term. And the thing is too, with the Big Five, is like, it is a scale of five, and like now they've added a sixth characteristic on it, and it's a way to measure just people's tendencies. So you can be like an introvert who also like, or someone whose score is low on or high on introversion, but then also scores high on openness to experience. So you may be like doing these things that, you know, historically people who are high in extroversion would do. Like, it doesn't, it, I just want to make sure people understand that it's like not a defining term, and like it doesn't mean that you're just like boxed into this one characteristic.
Right.
And I think obviously people think that extroverts and introverts are opposites. And I think that that's kind of what gets popularized, is like, if you're an introvert, you're like this. And if you're an extrovert, you're like that. And yes, on a scale perspective, introversion and extroversion are separate entities. They are on different sides of the scale. But it's just so rare to have people that are like so polar opposite. Like, I know someone, like the person that I always think about when I think about introversion is one of my friends, but she loves being by herself. She prefers it that way, but we're still really good friends.
Yeah.
We still spend time together. She still goes out every once in a while. Like, it doesn't mean that you just are rid of any social interaction, which is unfortunately what I think people take introversion as specifically.
Yeah, I feel like, and we'll get in a little bit more later into the stereotypes of introverts versus extroverts, but I don't know, I feel like there was a part of me that kind of grew up thinking about introverts as like kind of nerdy, nerdy in like a derogatory way.
Not in the good way. Not in the sexy way.
Yeah, exactly. Not sexy nerds.
Okay.
Nerdy, awkward, like reclusive people. And that's why I was like, I'm not an introvert. Like, I don't identify with that. I don't picture myself when I think of what an introvert is.
Yeah. Well, it's also not helpful that psychologists are also really mean to introverts or like people low in introversion. Like, a lot of the, I did a research study in the past semester, and I was going to also touch on extroversion in my study. And they, it is brutal.
What do they say?
Well, there's a lot of stuff about like coping mechanisms. It's just, across the board, it's very difficult for psychologists to like isolate a certain characteristic. So usually when you are testing someone, you're also looking at like their levels of neuroticism and their levels of openness and all that jazz. But like, you know, just historically speaking, like introverts or people low in introversion, see, even I'm making the mistake, people low in introversion tend to like not have as many coping, like as beneficial coping skills. And the reason they say this is because one coping skill that's seen as very helpful is reaching out to other people for support. And by and large, a lot of people who score higher on introversion tend to not seek out comfort from the people around them just by the nature that they survive well on their own.
Interesting.
But the thing is I think that a lot of research overlooks the fact that, one, this is a very Western way to think of the world. Like, extroversion in itself of like being confident and speaking your mind, like that is very like Western traits that not, that don't really like line up with any other culture. And also, like, if the world was just full of people who are high in extroversion, like, no one would get anything done.
That's true. The world would be one big party, one big nonstop, like, talking to each other. I think also having people on different kind of parts of the scale of extroversion versus introversion really adds like nuance to conversations and
Absolutely.
Stuff. Like, if you've ever seen two big personality extroverts trying to talk to each other, oh baby.
As an extroverted person,
yeah.
I would say it's actually kind of awful sometimes to have a conversation with another extrovert.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's nice to have a little bit of balance there, someone who's willing to kind of like, you know, take a step back in certain situations, and then another person who really wants to step up and kind of like be in the center of attention or like the center of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think also, like, you know, talking about psychologists also having this like kind of negative perspective, there's been this really big push to like dismantle the beliefs that like we should all just be high in extroversion. Like, that doesn't really make sense for people. And I remember a prof of mine made a great example, Dr. David King, if anybody wants his little annotation. But the example that he gave us in our class was that he explained that like people high in extroversion are seen to have like really great social abilities. They're really comfortable meeting new people and they're really good at keeping up conversations. Mm. And so that's seen as a very desirable trait in terms of like social desirability in psychology.
Right.
So most psychologists will take that and be like, this is a really good social person and humans are social people. This is like the desirable like aspect of a person. However, what he pointed out was that people who tend to be more introverted have really great listening skills. Mm. They take in what people are saying more thoughtfully and they make connections through that. So you wouldn't be able to have this like highly extroverted person making connections with people if there aren't also other people on that other side like receiving that energy. And he made like he went into this whole thing because he's introverted as well or scores low or scores high on introversion. And he talks a lot about like a lot of his colleagues and like the tendencies of people who are higher in introversion of like being very thoughtful, being very analytical, like, and obviously that doesn't have to define it for every single person. And I'm not saying if you're high in extroversion you have no like capacity to do this,
right?
But I do think that introversion gets this really bad rep that actually is so helpful in like teams and in friendships and in relationships, like all together.
I think at the end of the day, where you fall on the scale does go on to kind of influence the way that you make connections moving forward. Because as an extrovert, you may be like sharing a lot of yourself and your personality in a group, and then people are attracted to that and they want to gravitate towards that. Versus, as you were saying, an introvert may make close connections through like listening, being like a supportive role or figure, and like also obviously like getting more comfortable and sharing themselves as well.
I think that it's, you need both. And then also, like, again, I said this earlier, like, this is not the only defining factor that people have themselves. Like, I've met fantastic people who are introverted. I would say that I'm, as an extroverted person, I'm attracted to people who are introverted.
Yeah, and I would say as an introverted person, I'm very attracted to people who are extroverted. Like, that is why we're friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason. I made Violet take a test before we started becoming friends, and I asked her.
It was a weird day.
But thank God she passed.
But I do think it is, like, one of the reasons why, like, our friendship works really well.
Yeah.
And, like, I really love having people in my life who are more extroverted than me, because I think it brings out a really great, like, more extroverted side of myself that I can't always just bring out by myself. I need kind of the people, and I intentionally surround myself with people who are more extroverted because I like what that does to me and how that influences me.
I was gonna say too, like, I found that I really enjoyed becoming friends with more people who I understand are introverted, because I really struggle trying to like calm myself down and not just talk constantly. And it's something that I've always been working on, because I know that I just get really excited and I keep wanting to talk. And I've observed, like, you and some of our other friends, like, being really good at like listening and asking questions, which, like, I think those should be defining factors of people who are high in introversion, because I do see a lot of my introverted friends doing that a lot more. And then also on the other hand side of it, it's also so fun to like find, at least for me, the quietest person in the room and like go up to them and talk to them and just like see what they're about. And they usually have like the craziest things to say, because I feel like they're the ones that are like observing everything or they've like gone through things, but they don't talk about it that often. You can be very surprised. So we love everyone.
Talk to your local introvert.
Yeah. But I just want, like, in terms of closing this research section out, I just kind of want to go through a thing of saying, like, I think a lot of psychological research, because they do big five research now on almost like any psychological trait at this point. So, and a lot of it can come off somewhat negatively, but there's also a lot of great research into like how beneficial people who are high in introversion like give to society.
So yeah, and same for extroversion.
And same for extroversion.
I feel like we did a lot of defending of introversion,
right?
Because I feel like you and I came into it with an understanding that there may be like some more negative stigma around being an introvert. And I'm actually really curious to know if the people listening, like are all of you, if you also kind of like understand where we're coming from with like that negative stigma about introversion, or if it's been something about, well, obviously the research kind of backed that up as well, but everyone goes through different experiences. Maybe some people have always thought of introverts as like thought very highly of introverted people or people who score highly on introversion.
I would love to hear if people have anything to say about
that. Be interesting to know.
We're going to take a little break with some ads, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about stereotypes of extroverts and introverts and what you can maybe do to dismantle those beliefs. We'll be right back.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Hate music? Are you at a loss for what to listen to these days? Tune in to Deliberate Noise for the latest and greatest rock, punk, underground, and local music. Your host Nina Panini and special guest Claire bring you high-energy tunes and unrelated chit-chat every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on CITR for free. So come get sweaty with us and get into your local music scene.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. Before the break, we talked a bit about how extroversion has maybe more of a popular reputation, at least as far as we know and as far as the research told us. But we also talked about why introversion has a lot of benefits as well. And at the end of the day, I think it's really important to stress that there is no right or wrong way to be or behave in this world. Both introverts and extroverts have extremely positive qualities, and they can be really complementary to each other, as we were saying just before the break. What do you think about that?
Well, I just really hope that people can hear the research and, one, understand that these terms were not meant to be like defining features, and they kind of have just become that way, which is very common in psychology because humans definitely just want to like find a way to define themselves. And also that there's much more to you than just like your social abilities. And even looking at your social abilities, I think people have really good qualities whatever place in the scale that they are. Like, I think people who could be struggling with socializing can also be equated to people who struggle with being alone. And I don't think that's really looked at very often. And I wish that people did kind of see the like value in being alone as much as they see the value of being surrounded by other people.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to unpack a little bit the stereotypes associated with extroverts and introverts. Yeah. And I feel like as kind of like a self-identified introvert, self-identified extrovert with me, like I think we'd be really primed to talk about kind of what those stereotypes are, how we may or may not have struggled with them ourselves, and what we've done to kind of unpack those stereotypes. All right.
So we're going back to psychoanalyzing ourselves.
You may say that.
You could say that in some ways.
But yeah, I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that personally, I was kind of resistant to identify as an introvert at first because I, you know, saw people who were extroverted and like really looked up to them and admired them. And I was like, oh, I wish that I could be so good socially and more outgoing like that, because I think naturally I've always been a little bit shy. Mm. I think I've like gone leaps and bounds. Like, yeah. I literally got held back in preschool for being too shy. Yeah. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, I was too shy.
That's so sweet.
So I think I've come a long way.
Yeah, no, I would sure hope so.
Look at me now.
They keep you back an extra year of university because you're
like,
too
you're
shy.
You're so shy.
That's why you had to do 5 years.
Hey.
I did 5 years, too. Don't worry about it.
But, yeah, I definitely still struggle sometimes now with being more on the quiet side. And I think especially it can be kind of hard for me because I do surround myself with a lot of extroverts, going and seeing my more extroverted friends make new connections a bit quicker than I can or with more people. But I've realized that being introverted, while you may not make as many connections in like this big, busy party setting, you can still make really meaningful connections with people who are willing to invest that time into like getting to know you in a way where you're a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I have this really good example of it from a party that I was at a few weeks ago. And I walked in, I didn't really know a lot of people there. There were a few friends that I did know. But I ended up spending most of the night with this girl who I've just met that night. And we just like talked for like probably hours. And we really connected, and she like became a fast new friend.
Aww.
And I spent a little bit of time with the friends that I already knew, and I left, I may have left that party situation having not made an impression on like every single person that night, or gotten a chance to like meet all the new people, which you weren't there that night, but like if you were, like I feel like you probably would have like said hi to most people in that room and like gotten to know like a lot of the people there. And like, and maybe if you were there and like I compared myself to that, maybe it would have made me feel differently. But walking out of it the way that I did, I felt like I had a really like meaningful experience, and I was reflecting back on that, and I was like, I feel like that's a very like introverted experience that I had there, where I like talked to the people I already knew and was comfortable with.
Yeah.
Met one new person who was really interesting to me, and we were able to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And then it was time to leave, and there were so many people there that I hadn't talked to, but really no part of me was like, oh no, I wish I'd spent more time with other people. I was like, no, I liked this one conversation that I had like all night.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I think that, again, like people really tend to overlook the value of connection with like small groups of people. I don't really know. I guess it must be linked back to this like evolutionary idea that we should be socializing with as many people. But like, I also don't think that in all respects that when you show up to a party and you've spent the whole time talking to every single person there, that that's particularly like a success. Like, it can be
it
to
depends,
some people.
I think.
And, like, I feel like for myself, like, I enjoy parties a lot more when I've met a few people and had, like, very meaningful conversations with them. And it's difficult sometimes because I find myself really beating myself up over the fact that I didn't get to say hello to every single person. And I feel like there's this, like, feigned obligation that I've just, like, made up for myself. And I remember, like, a few years ago, or maybe a year and a half or so ago, feeling like I had built up this reputation for myself as like an extroverted social person, and I was very loud and did all these things. And when I would leave parties, like feeling as if I'd not like played that role correctly, mm-hmm. whether it was because I was just tired or yeah. just like met a nice person and like right. wanted to talk to them for the rest of the night, I felt like I had failed in some way, mm-hmm. which is a weird like thing to be like cognizant of for yourself. I feel like extroversion in the way that it's been like played out to the general public is seen as this like good thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel weird defining myself in that way. But I do think that like having this self-awareness of like, oh, this is what I expect of myself and this is what I think the people around me expect mm-hmm. of me, and giving yourself a lot of pressure of like sometimes you just want to like sit in a corner and not talk to anyone or you want to talk to one person or you want to just stay with the friends that like you showed up know. With.
Yeah.
Which I think, so I don't think that it's a particularly bad, I think it's a really meaningful thing to like yeah. find a new person. You're yeah. like, wow, we really connected.
Mm-hmm. I think that was what my takeaway was that it was really meaningful and it was really fulfilling. But, like, I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like I made an impression on anyone leaving a social situation. Because,
really?
Yeah, because of my, like, quietness or shyness.
You're literally never quiet. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I am.
I'm with you 90% of the time.
It depends on the situation. And, like, when I get uncomfortable, like, I'll get quiet, or if I'm nervous.
When was the last party that you went, or like the last social gathering you went to that you like you left it being like, I didn't make a good impression, or I didn't make an impression on anyone there?
I don't feel comfortable saying it on air.
Okay. But you can like remember yes. a time.
Yeah.
And was it because you were just being a little like quiet and awkward, or was it mm-hmm. like external factors that you feel like were making you feel that way?
I feel like I have dipped my toe into lots of groups
mm-hmm.
where I may meet lots of people in that group, but nothing is really clicking.
Right.
And I don't have that like extroverted side to myself enough to like push it and like keep trying on my end that much. And so I'll kind of just like recoil into myself. And then I'm like, do these people think of me ever?
But you were saying that you don't really like them in the first, like you haven't really connected with them.
I haven't connected with them. I didn't say I didn't like them.
Okay. Because I was gonna say, for me, I will actively try to like get people who I knowingly know that I don't enjoy being around to still like me, and then I get anxious about the fact that they don't, even though I'm not their biggest fan in
right.
the first place.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's, I have no idea where that comes from. I don't know if that's an extroverted thing or it's just like a weird thing. But that's interesting. I think that I think it's just interesting that that's like the self-awareness that you have. I don't think of you in that way.
Mm-hmm. It's probably because I am so comfortable with you. I'm not like particularly quiet when you are around.
Out together.
Yeah, but when you're seeing me, you're around me.
Right. Oh, so you don't think that there's been a time where, like, we've gone out together and you felt that way?
No, definitely there has been,
oh,
for
okay.
sure. But I'm saying, like,
I'm getting confused.
Like, if we are in a conversation with each other and also other people,
right,
I'm probably not going to feel as, like, shy.
Okay.
Because, like, you are a comfortable person for me.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I'm a comfortable yeah. person. But it is, that's why I find it so interesting whenever we talk about, like, introversion or extroversion, because I know that you like spending your time alone. That's mm-hmm. something that I've always known about you. But then you always talk about shyness, and I'm always like, what are you talking about? You're not shy. You talk to me all the time.
Yeah. I have my moments.
I don't think you're perceived as a shy person, though. That helps.
That would be crazy if that's not true. I mean, if that is true.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, I'm saying
we'll put a poll out. Is Violet shy?
Do people think Violet is shy? Well, I think, like, you know, I think that there unfortunately are a lot of negative aspects to this, like, concept of introversion. But I feel like, as we've said, like, it's not as, I don't think it's as bad as people are playing it out to be. I actually don't think it's really bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, like, yeah, maybe like shyness. But I also think that there are shy people who are also extroverted. Like, I think shyness may be something that's separate than that, personally, from my own opinion. But
I have a hard time conceptualizing a shy extrovert.
I get kind of shy sometimes.
When do you get shy?
I think that the thing is that our shyness manifest differently. Because when I'm shy, because the other thing I was going to talk about in terms of like stereotypes of extroverts and introverts, which we've kind of gone off the rails with, but I think that there is like this consistent assumption that extroverts are very confident. And I, again, I feel weird saying this because I feel like it's a weird self-awareness thing. But just recently, somebody was telling me that they saw when they first met me, they thought I was a very confident person. And I really struggle with this idea that people who are high in extroversion are like confident by nature. I don't think I'm confident. I think I'm just faking it half the time. And so when I think about shyness or like especially when I get really socially anxious, I used to like recoil and like just avoid all outings. And I would like recluse to my like small group of friends that I did have. Whereas now I find when I'm shy or I feel uncomfortable and especially like a social situation where I may not know that many people or like not feel comfortable, I think I just become louder. I become louder and I start talking even more, which I people don't believe me when I say it, but it's true. Like when I start getting nervous or I start feeling like things are, I'm not connecting with this person, I'll just keep talking. And then I'll be like, you got to catch on to something. One thing I'm going to say.
Something will trigger a response from you.
Or asking a bunch of questions until the person decides that they actually want to talk to me.
We've talked about that difference in us before. I forget why we were talking about it, but I was saying something of like, either about like when I'm intimidated by someone or like nervous or something like that, I just like get really quiet. And you were like, oh, that's crazy. I just, like, talk a lot.
Yes, we have talked about this. I think that it's, I think that maybe that might be tied back to, like, introversion or extroversion. Because I think talkativeness is, like, something that I definitely connect with. Probably the one of the most
I've
out of extroversion.
I've always admired that in extroverts.
You're great
This is
talking.
Just a podcast of me being like, I wish I was more extroverted. Maybe I can work on it.
Actually, funnily
can
enough,
you change?
No.
Oh.
Well, okay. There's a bit of like back and forth with introvert. Like, if you can change your personality, a lot of psychologists think that you can kind of just like it's kind of set, even though it manifests in different ways. Personally, seeing the way that I used to be when I was in high school, I think that the only reason why I think that you can't truly change it is because I really desired to like be around lots of people. I just didn't know how to do it. And maybe I guess that's kind of what you're talking about in a way. But I feel like you're a very social introvert.
Yeah, I think I am too. But like I was saying, like that isn't something that necessarily like came naturally to me, I think. And I think I've really come out of my shell as I've grown.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that as you get older as well, that stuff might come as it is, like come.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of forced to adjust. Like you have to get better at social situations or you get ostracized.
Not ostracized. I think I'm just honestly I feel like I'm very in awe of introverts. Like when you were talking about how you could spend 3 days alone in your room, like that's crazy to me. I remember talking to someone like a few weeks ago about she was like, yeah, I haven't been out of my house in such a long time. And like, I'm finally out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's great. And she was like, yeah, like, I just haven't really seen anyone for like 2 weeks. And I was like,
that's a bit too long for me.
My extroverted brain, like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But I also feel like I wrote this down as well, because I feel like, you know, we talked about the like, where we get our energy from. And I feel for myself, I flip flop a lot between leaving social situations exhausted and like literally nobody talked to me. I'm going into my room and I'm getting on TikTok and I'm not speaking to anyone. Whereas like just the other day I was thinking about this as an example. We had filmed or sorry, recorded the podcast.
Stop. This is my biggest pet peeve. All I will say watch like having people watch us filming.
You don't know. Maybe I'm recording us the entire time.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't consent to that.
Well. but no, so I feel so when we had finished recording the podcast and, you know, when we record this podcast, we both talked about how it's like we talk a lot and then we're like,
yeah,
that was a lot.
True.
But I remember you were going somewhere And I'd been around you, and then I'd been around our roommates earlier on in the day. Mm-hmm. But I had just, I left you, and then I was like, I need to see someone.
Interesting.
And I, like, called, like, three different people, and the third person finally picked up and was like, what? And I was like, are you around? Like, there is that part that happens as well, which I think is what I also connect highly with extroversion of, like, leaving a social situation and my, like, energy kind of dropping. And knowing that to, like, get myself back up where I, like, need that type of stimulus or whatever.
Yeah, I've also seen you, like, if we're having a night out and then it's kind of like, okay, like, whatever thing that we're at is, like, dwindling down. I have seen, like, moments where you've been like, okay, so, like, whose house are we going to? Or, like, do you guys want to come over? Like, it's like, okay, I'm ready for, like, more of that, which I get in those moods
as
well.
Yeah, you do that all the time.
Yeah, but I have seen it in you, and it's very fun.
Because I just like to keep going.
Yeah.
To be fair, we have a roommate that is probably more extroverted than I am.
She's impressive.
She's impressive. Yeah. I could never do that. I know that was
you probably could.
If I tried really hard. Yeah. I know that we're being so, like, oh, we're not being very specific when we're talking about, like, what we're talking about right now. But we just have a roommate that can go really hard and then wake up the next morning and, like, want
feel
more
amazing.
Of that social interaction.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's all I gotta say,
well,
personally.
This was a fun episode. We wandered down some paths that we weren't expecting.
Opened up some doors. Talked about ourselves a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of a very, like, narcissistic episode.
I know. I feel really weird talking about myself as an extrovert.
I don't think that you should. I think that is just an accurate descriptor of who you are. And I think anyone who has met you would also agree that you are an extrovert.
Yeah. I think I was telling someone once about some way that I socialize with people through, like, Instagram stories to befriend them. Mm-hmm. They just looked at me and were like, you are the best extrovert I've ever met in my entire life.
Even doing, like, it through social media, yeah. Oh, I just wanted to say one more thing about being an introvert, which was just that I have a job now that is a lot of social interaction, both with customers and also with my coworkers, which I was loving at first. And, like, part, like, some days I do still love it.
Yeah.
And some days I am so drained. Like, even yesterday I was at work and I had started, done the morning shift and interacted with a lot of customers, chatted with my coworkers working with me quite a bit. And then my friends had come to my work to hang out with me during my break.
Right.
And once I got off, which was amazing, and I love that, but I was a little bit, like, overwhelmed.
Yeah, you stepped into the studio very overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for context, we're recording this early, and we had done our our last episode.
Don't tell them. They don't
well, you just
know.
Said when you stepped into the studio.
Well, maybe we were just hanging out in the studio together.
Yeah, I guess I ruined that. Yeah, but anyways, ruined the magic. But yeah, I was so exhausted and overwhelmed when I stepped into the studio. I actually, like, didn't know if I could do the episode, kind of. And I didn't really know why. But then when we were looking into extroversion, introversion, it kind of clicked for me. I was like, I feel like that was a bit of an introvert moment where I was like, that was nonstop social interaction. It was a bit much for me. I could have used not even, like, alone time, but, like just sat somewhere in the nest alone and, like, chilled out for a little bit, but
yeah, not being
I didn't
able
really
to
have the time.
That. I do think that service work can really do that to you, to be fair, because I think that service work has this thing where, like, you first start and you're like, wow, I get to interact with all these people and have so much fun and, like, whatever, because you were loving it. And I was shocked that you loved it, because I was like, I know that you love being an introvert.
Yeah.
You love your alone time. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, you would come off work and then you'd come to parties and I was like, oh my God, look at her go.
I think the reality has slowly set in.
But even I feel that way, like, especially getting off, like, a long day, like, interacting with people and you're, like, serving voice and, like, having to, like, give out so much, like, emotional energy and emotional capacity to, like, keep people happy. It will run you down. It'll run an extrovert down.
It will. It sure will. Well, we do have some homework for you all this week. And that is to work on unpacking any preconceived notions about introverts and extroverts, not only for yourself, but also for the people around you. Everyone is multifaceted and have, you know, lots of things to offer.
Yeah.
Can't just be boxed into one label, even if they do identify as it. And this personality trait is just one of many things that make up a person into the person that they are.
Yeah. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll be discussing regret.
Dun, dun, dun. Ooh, that was good.
That was really good.
Who even needs a soundboard? And you just have these angelic voices.
Yeah, well, I've been told that I'm the next Mariah Carey.
Well, on that note, bye-bye, love you.
Love you.